Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe it. USC is 7-5 again. Oh no!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Red Tour Radio, episode 541, coming to you on Wednesday, May 29th. We're going to talk about the latest in USC football news, including USC and LSU and the scuttlebutt about that. And we're going to play a game called Guess That Trojan. And we're going to learn about the Michigan Wolverines today on our Big Ten Minutes. I'm your host, Mario Castillo, joined along with my co-host here in the Raina Troy Studio in Los Angeles, Alicia D'Aretola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. New setup.
Yeah. For the listeners out there who aren't watching on YouTube, we both have new backgrounds. We have rearranged our studio.
We have.
We have not moved or anything like that.
Yeah, Tim in LA says new rot studio. No, it's not a new studio.
We just... studio, new look. We reconfigured it to be more beneficial to both of us, and it's great. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Cam says the new studio is sick. Ron Murdy says it looks awesome. We appreciate it. Welcome back, everybody. We're excited. A lot of good things, big things on the horizon. We also, Alicia, we got something back up in order.
What's that?
Hi.
The soundboard is back.
The soundboard is back.
Show me something. Show the fans something.
Yeah, we're fully back, baby.
Yeah, a new studio.
Crushing disappointment.
Yeah. Ron Brady says we can't see Jesse now. No, but we can see Combo.
That's the downside. Yeah. So to feed your border collie to scratch that itch, we have Combo in the background.
Yeah.
Jesse is laying right below Combo, and it is very cute.
Yeah. Anyways, a lot of stuff coming up today, including us playing Guess the Trojan, which I'm super excited about. Alicia, a lot of Trojans also in the NBA, and the NBA playoffs really heating up. It's almost NBA finals time, which means it's the perfect time to join our sponsor, DraftKings. DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. DraftKings is offering a no-sweat bet sign-up bonus bet for new users. New customers who sign up with the code Red of Troy and deposit at least $5 will receive a no sweat bet up to $1,500 bonus on their first wager. This means if you place a bet of $50 and you lose, you will receive a $50 credit in bonus bets straight to your account up to $1,500. You'll also receive one single game parlay reward every day. So using that code Raina Troy not only gets you these bonuses, but helps directly support the podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code Raina Troy to maximize your first bet. The offer, of course, only available to new users who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. including the state of Michigan, which we're going to talk about later in this episode. So please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Alisa, a lot on deck today, so let's just get right to the news, shall we?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's start with a report from Saturday Down South. USC apparently has tried to get out of the LSU game. The Trojans open up this season against the LSU Tigers in Las Vegas on Sunday of Labor Day weekend, September 1st, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, a game we're all looking forward to on ABC. But it's a game that SC kind of didn't want to be in, apparently. Quote, USC tried for nearly 2 years to find out of a way out of the contract to play LSU in Las Vegas because Trojans coach Lincoln Riley didn't want the game, multiple sources told Saturday Down South. Alicia, where do you stand on this?
First, I find this report to be credible because we had heard some rumblings about this too. And when I heard those rumblings, I remember thinking, well, yeah, duh. USC playing Notre Dame every year and then adding LSU to the schedule was very bold. Moving to the Big Ten in the meantime was going to make that schedule even more challenging. Mm-hmm. I am not surprised that this was something that USC tried to do. This does come back to Lincoln Riley, though, and some commentary on Lincoln Riley. I wrote about it on fansided.com. He was taking a beating on Twitter because, you know, people had joked that, or not joked, they had said that he was leaving Oklahoma because Oklahoma was going to the SEC and he was scared of the SEC.
Yeah.
And this doesn't help the narrative because he was trying to get out of a game with an SEC opponent. Do I think that that's actually the crux of this? No, I don't think that Lincoln Riley is scared of the SEC. What I think Lincoln Riley is doing here is a risk reward calculation. If, say, let's run this. If USC goes 7-2 in the Big Ten, let's say USC loses to Michigan and Penn State, but they, in an alternate universe, played three out-of-conference cupcakes, they could make it into the 12-team playoff. Like, that would be a reality. That would be quite attainable, in fact.
Right.
If you get 10 wins, you're going to have a very good chance of getting in. What the 2024 schedule does, well, what USC's schedule every year does is adds one potential loss to the table because it adds one potential really difficult game to the table with Notre Dame. Now, on top of that, USC added a second really difficult neutral site game against a legitimate opponent. So you're now looking at it and saying USC could go 7-2 in the Big Ten, which would be objectively good, but then also go 1-2 in out of conference play, and then suddenly they're 8-4, and it's, you know, Lincoln Riley is getting berated for going 8-4. So I understand it. I totally get why USC would want to get out of that game, considering the logistical challenges of this season, considering right. The difficulty of the schedule already. Considering that I'm sure Lincoln Riley would rather use the first few weeks of the season to get his team up to speed instead of having to prepare for a big marquee opponent in day one. Having said all of that, so I understand. I understand where Riley is coming from here. I understand where USC is coming from here. My problem with this is that that risk-reward calculation is so focused on the risk. It's calculations that USC is making and that Lincoln Riley, by extension, is making based on the idea that USC could lose these games. It's looking at the schedule and saying, like, well, where are our losses? I came up as a USC fan under Pete Carroll. That is not the Pete Carroll mindset. That's the antithesis of the Pete Carroll mindset. Mm-hmm. The Pete Carroll mindset was more focused on the reward side of that calculation.
Yeah.
Yes, there are risks. You add losses to your potential losses to your schedule, but you shouldn't be focusing on potential losses because you should be looking at every game as a chance to win, to strengthen yourself, and to make yourself look stronger and more prepared for actually winning a championship. Because when it comes down to it, Lincoln Riley is not preparing, should not be looking at a calculation of how USC can get into the playoff. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Riley should be looking at a calculation of how USC can win a national title.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
And a USC team that is capable of beating LSU, of beating Notre Dame, of beating or playing Michigan tough, beating or playing Penn State tough. Like, USC will not win a national championship unless they can do those things. So I've had this question about Lincoln Riley, about, you know, my thing about Pete Carroll, for all his joviality, was a ruthless football coach.
Yeah.
Who knew what it took to win in the end. I have a question about whether or not Lincoln Riley is ruthless enough to get to the top. He needs to prove that to me. And this is not a good... this is not a good example of him doing that.
I see what you're saying here. I also, like, I agree that optically this falls in line with the narrative, which I don't believe, that Lincoln Riley was scared of the SEC and that's why he went to SC and he left Oklahoma, and you know, ideally he'd like to be playing a bunch of cupcakes and all that stuff. Like, I think that this is all BS. However, like you said, this plays into that narrative and gives it some legs. But to me, this is more about, you look at SC's schedule. SC already plays Notre Dame, and I understand the Pete Carroll aspect of it. The, you know, Greg, I mean, Gary in the chat says, anybody, anytime, any place. Yes, that was the mantra. And no, it didn't hurt Pete Carroll because, ironically, the games that SC lost under Pete Carroll teams were the Pac-12 games, the Pac-10 games at the time, right? Like, it was, you know, SC would lose to Oregon State. They weren't losing to Arkansas on the road in Fayetteville, right? They weren't losing to Nebraska. They were losing to, you know, Oregon on the road, whatever it was, right? And you look at the schedule, I think it's so easy for everybody to forget that Notre Dame is a non-conference game. Mm-hmm. Because you play it every year, it's part of the schedule, it's inherent, it feels like a conference game because it's always there. But most teams in the country are not playing a team of Notre Dame, the magnitude of Notre Dame already. And you add on to it LSU, and it's been pointed out in the chat, next year SC plays Ole Miss, and the year after Ole Miss as well. Like, these are not normal football schedules. I don't think Lincoln Riley is out of line to want a schedule that is an out-of-conference schedule that is Notre Dame and two G5s, especially when you're playing a Big Ten schedule. You're going to have to go on the road and travel to the East Coast, you know, periodically throughout the season because of that. Like, there's a lot of elements here. And I don't think that it's, you know, trying to make things easier on yourself. It's trying not to make things impossible. You don't, like, the essence of the Pac-12 the last decade was that they screwed themselves out of the playoff every time. How many times did Oregon and Stanford do that by playing tough games in week one and losing them, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm not saying that that's going to keep SC out of the playoff, especially an expanded playoff. And I think that there are a lot more of these big games being played and scheduled now than there were recently. And the 12-game playoff might change the dynamic for those a little bit because it adds a little bit more leeway. Like, you can lose a game now and still make the playoff, and it's not the end of the world. But still, SC already plays Notre Dame. They already play Notre Dame. I know it's fun to go out and have a new team to go go on a road trip, or in this case, go to Vegas and all that stuff. As as an enjoyer of watching the football, I want to see that. But from a coaching perspective, it doesn't actually make sense. And I get it here. And this is one of those things where, like, both things can be true. 100% here for me.
Yes, and I think I'm 100% on board with you, especially the both things can be true thing. And I also, I am inclined, as much as I have this lingering question about Lincoln Riley, because he still needs to prove, you know, until he wins a championship, he won't have proven that he can win a championship, right?
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, degrade him for that. I need to see it to believe it, truly. But at the same time, like, this narrative that he's scared of LSU, or he's running from LSU, like, it is rich.
LSU, though.
It is rich, but, well, okay, yes, the schedule in general, but, like, it's rich to see fans of teams saying this when their out-of-conference schedule is, like, Ohio State plays Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall. Alabama plays Western Michigan, Western Kentucky, USF, Wisconsin, and Mercer. Texas went out and scheduled Michigan, but they have three out of conference games that they should win: Colorado State, UTSA, and ULM. Oklahoma plays Temple, Houston, Tulane, and Maine. Oregon plays Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State. LSU went out and scheduled USC, but then they have Nichols, UCLA, and South Alabama. None of those teams, no team in the country, is looking
LSU's the only one that, you know, has two big games there.
Right, but none of them have only one game on their out-of-conference schedule that we could define as a certified win going into the season.
Yeah.
I could not find another team that has an out-of-conference schedule that is even close to as daunting as USC's only out-of-conference
SC has guarantee. One expected win and two coin flips.
Yes, and yeah. That's Utah State. So it is rich to hear people say that, like, USC's scared of anything when, you know, USC's aggressive scheduling has been kind of absurd.
Also, to join the Big Ten in general is SC, you know.
Yeah.
You know, going out there and trying to establish itself as a risk taker, right? Like,
USC could have rode with the Pac-12. I know that financials wouldn't have been as good, but right. USC could have rode with the Pac-12 and...
But the Pac-12, it's not like SC was running through the Pac-12 either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, the Pac-12 has been a difficult conference for SC to be in, hence why they've only won one title in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but when
right?
USC has been winning titles in the Pac-12, it's gotten the reputation of being the Pac-10 and the Nine Dwarves or whatever. So it's like USC can't win for losing, whatever. So yeah, I think the trolling of Lincoln Riley is silly. I have my own concerns, but I wouldn't. I think it's outrageous to look at USC's schedule and say, "Yeah, you should want to play Notre Dame and LSU in the same season out of conference. You should be perfectly logistically okay with giving away another home game." That's another thing here. Like, USC has given up a home game. Most of the other schools that are in contention for the playoff will be playing, you know, 7-8. Home games, and USC is not. Like, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, Fighting On MC, which, by the way, thank you for the super chat. Fighting On MC says, "I truly appreciate you guys and always enjoy turning into Rot." Thank you very much. We appreciate you. They said, so who was responsible for setting up the schedule to play LSU? It was the previous regime. Like, Jen Cohen did not come in and make this move. This was back when Clay Helton was the head coach and Mike Bone was the AD.
It was announced in 2021.
Yeah, I remember it was Helton and Ogeron were the coaches, and we joked about, like, how funny that was going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with the Ole Miss game. Those were games that this current regime inherited. So, the bottom line is the optics are always going to look bad when you try to cancel a game. It always looks like you're trying to weasel out of it, and that never looks good. You're never going to win that battle, even if you have a leg to stand on, which I think Lincoln Riley does in this case.
Yes.
So, both things can be true.
But he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt from the haters, and also...
Not until he wins a national championship.
Oklahoma's never going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but, like, the rest of the nation is going to tease him about this until he breaks through.
Let me ask you this. what coach besides Nick Saban gets the benefit of the doubt in the country?
Kirby Smart, and that's it. I mean, people look at the way people talk about Ryan Day. Like,
look at the way people talk about
Brian Kelly.
Dabo at this point.
Yeah, and Dabo, yeah.
Like,
look at the way I talk about Brian Kelly. Like,
the only active coach now that Nick Saban is no longer in college football, it's still weird to think about. The only active coach that doesn't get ridiculed on the regular for something is Kirby Smart. Everyone else gets dunked on.
You know, the only other one that I can think of is Kyle Whittingham. And that's because he's not at a program where people expect them to be winning national titles. Yeah. Like, I think Utah should be looking. I mean, we're not going to talk about this, but just as a quick aside, the EA College Football 25, the video game, the way that they're doing payouts for each individual school that's participating is they set up four tiers. Top tier gets like 90,000 or something like that, and then tier two gets like 50,000, and then tier three gets like 20,000, and then tier four gets 10, something like that. Don't quote me on the numbers.
Yeah.
Tier one, or the tiers, are all based on AP poll finishes in the last 10 years. USC is not a tier one team. Florida State is not a tier one team. Texas is not a tier one team. They are making less money from EA College Football 25 than Utah is, than Iowa is, than Oklahoma State is. So, like, Utah theoretically should be looking as being a program that aspires to national championships, but we don't look at them that way. We look at USC that way. We look at Florida State that way. We look at Miami that way. Yeah. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan.
The price of being a blue blood.
Yes. I mean, Jim Harbaugh was a laughing stock for a long time at Michigan because he couldn't break through. So, you know.
Yeah. Mike in the chat just says, do we even know if Riley said that? Seems like BS. This is the report from Saturday Down South. Like,
what
we said,
I'll say,
we had sort of heard rumblings about this before, which is why I think we're inclined to, you know,
I'm inclined to believe the report that USC was trying to get out of the LSU game. What I can't speak to is whether or not it was Lincoln Riley driving it and Lincoln Riley insisting on it, or if the brain trust at USC looked at it and said, like, nah, this is just, like, can we get out of this, please? Like, because I think everyone in the program could probably look at it and go, like,
but maybe. When you're the head coach, you've signed up for being the lightning rod for all the criticism.
Yeah.
Like that's how it works. If you're the head coach, if you're the president of whatever company, nation, whatever, like, that's what you sign up for, right? Kenny in the chat says, I think two things about this game. In a way, it will matter a lot for early season perception. If SC wins, they get hype. If they lose, they're unranked, but it might not matter like 2016 Alabama. Yes.
Perfect example.
SC is going to be judged on what happens in November and ultimately December, but this stuff is huge for the early jostling of positions, right? Like, you win the game early on. If SC beats LSU and Michigan early on in the season, they are going to get the benefit of the doubt in come October for the rankings going into the big games in November, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that's how it works. That's college football, unfortunately. So yeah, like, you pointed out on Twitter that you didn't think there was a lot of, you know, upside for SC to win the game. I think there is a lot of upside for SC to win the game.
The 12-team playoff makes that upside less upside-y. Like, a 4-team playoff, you need that resume win to make your argument to get in. For a 12-team playoff, like Kenny said, if USC loses, they can still get in the playoff. If USC wins, they can still get left out of the playoff. Like, I think that it's one of those games. I just always think about Notre Dame, Texas. Like, is it just going to be one of those games where it's two? Was that 2016? We were in Texas.
I think it was 2016.
For Alabama, and that game was going on. And it's just one of those things where it's like everyone's going to draw big conclusions about that game, but like 4 weeks later, we might be looking back at the game going like, yeah, none of this was real. So in that sense, like, if USC beats LSU, USC will still be in a what have you done for me lately situation. Like, if USC beats LSU, yeah, they're gonna move up in the top 15.
Yeah,
but like, the moment they lose, they're gonna be unranked. So it's sort of a, like, to me, the game lends towards irrelevance insofar as a big marquee game. Like, it's not irrelevant to me as a person. Like, I don't know. I'm going to be there watching the game and exciting. Yeah. It's an actual game that matters. No. But in the context of this conversation, I can understand why USC would look at it and not necessarily value it enough to say that they wouldn't try to get out of it.
Sure. I just think this is college football. The thing that we love about college football is that every game matters. This isn't the NFL where one game at the beginning of the season really isn't going to make or break. Obviously, it could, but theoretically, it doesn't. So, other news to get to before we play Guess the Trojan. USC has picked up a new wide receiver, Charles Ross, coming in from San Jose State in the transfer portal. More of a possession receiver guy. Spent 2 years at Nevada, then transferred to San Jose State in 2021. Last year against the Trojans at the Coliseum. 5 catches for 62 yards. He has 1 year of eligibility going from the Spartans to the Trojans.
I like the addition, to be honest. It's another transfer that's not like a big headliner, but USC's receiver room we've talked about is thin, full of talent, but thin and lacking veteran players.
Yeah.
And so I like bringing in a veteran guy who obviously performed on a pretty big stage playing USC, who can come in and just sort of be an older voice, who can be a contributor, maybe pleasantly surprise us by being more than a contributor. But it's all about depth. USC needs additional depth at a lot of these positions, and I'm not surprised to see USC going after sort of veteran guys, maybe last year of eligibility situations to fill out the roster.
Yeah, 347 yards receiving last year for the Spartans, 36th in the conference in the Mountain West in terms of catches. We'll see what happens with him with the Trojans, another guy to really fill out that receiving core. The 5 catches, 62 yards last year that he had against SC, season highs in both of those. So interesting that they came in week one against SC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, USC's defense.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Yeah. Let's get to Guess the Trojan. We are going to play Guess the Trojan. We want to start with, if you're watching this on YouTube, you might see the thumbnail. There is a Trojan in that picture. We're going to put it up here on YouTube right now. Pixelated out Trojan. Alicia, you took this picture. Any thoughts on who the Trojan is?
I recognize this picture. I want to say it is Sed Ware.
Nope.
Is it a running back?
No, it's one of your favorite positions.
Tight end?
Yes.
It's tight end.
Played forever.
Telfer?
Nope, played forever. Some might say he's still playing college football. I don't know if he actually
Daniel
is.
Daniel Amata Bebe? Hey,
Bebe. Hey, Bebe. Hey, Bebe. Hey, Bebe. Woo!
Yeah, Daniel Amata Bebe.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, Daniel Amata Bebe. Yeah, it's that's who it is, number 88. We're going to play Guess the Trojan here. We've each come up with Trojans. We are going to hold up a sign in front of our head, blocking out our eyes so we can't see it, but you, the viewers at home, can see it. If you're listening on audio only, you're going to have to just play along with us. So, Alicia, pick up the first person that I wrote for you and start asking questions, 20 question style, and let's see how this goes.
I need somebody to tell me if this name is upside down.
No, okay, this is the test name, by the way.
This is the test name,
This is the one that you accidentally saw. So the way it'll work...
Is this a Pete Carroll era linebacker who
wore
55?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh, now I'm blanking on his name.
By the way, you got to block out your eyes. You can't see.
I am blocking out my eyes.
Right. On the screen, it looks like you're looking.
Oh my gosh. My mind literally just went absolutely... I literally saw this name. Why... Keith Rivers. Oh my gosh.
Yes, it's Keith Rivers.
Yeah.
All right.
This is why I'm afraid of this game, because my mind just goes blank and I don't remember information that I literally learned 2 minutes ago, let alone.
Pick your first one.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Ask questions.
Okay, does this player play defense?
No.
He
used to.
Has this player played in the last 10 years?
Yes.
Is this player a running back?
Yes.
Is it Trey Madden?
Yes. What was the used to play defense? Did that give it
that
away?
That absolutely gave it away.
Okay. All right. Let's do my first. Can you read it?
It's upside down, and you should bring it closer to the camera.
Okay. How about now?
Now, yes.
Okay. This player played in the last 10 years?
I need to remember that. Okay. No, he
is not. He's played this century.
No, he has played the century, not in the last 10 years.
Okay, offensive player?
Yes.
Okay, a skill position guy?
No.
Offensive lineman?
Yes.
Okay, left tackle?
No.
Right tackle?
No.
Center?
Yes.
Nico Fala?
No.
Did he have is he the love of of Clay Helton's life?
No. He did not play in the last 10 years.
Did not play in the last 10 years?
Yeah.
Did he snap the ball on 4th and 9?
No.
So it's a USC center who did not play in the last 10 years but played this century?
Yes.
Okay, Norm Katnick.
No.
What's his name? The guy from Arizona.
You are closing in.
There's a K here.
You are correct.
It's a K name.
His name is a K name, yes. Oh.
Oh my god.
I'm glad it's not just happening to me.
Oh my god. I keep wanting to say Christian Kirk. It's not Christian Kirk.
Well, the four letters are correct.
it's close to that. It's oh my god. I can picture him. Number 67.
That's correct. That's his number.
2007 freshman.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's gonna. I know who this is. You know that I know who this is.
I know that you know who. Okay, I'm gonna give you a clue. His first name begins with O. Sorry, his last name begins with O.
Just tell me, because
his first name begins with K.
I know it's K. It's something O something.
Christopher O'Dowd.
Christopher O'Dowd. Oh my god. I knew that.
This is my fear. I know this guy, and then it's gonna be. I'm gonna be completely blank. All right, you ready?
All right. What's your next one? Go. Turn it upside down.
Is this a player who's played in the last 10 years?
No.
Played this century.
Yes.
Offense.
Yes.
Skill positions.
Yes.
Wide receiver?
Formerly.
So running back?
No.
Tight end?
Yes.
Fred Davis?
Fred Davis.
Yeah. I almost put Fred Davis and I was like, that's too obvious.
See, this is always tough when it's someone who made a position change, yeah, like Fred Davis or Trey Madden. It's kind of a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to my next one.
Upside down.
Upside down again. Oh boy. Here we go. We good?
Yes.
Defense.
No.
Coach?
No.
Offense.
Yes.
This century?
Yes.
Last 10 years?
No.
Carroll era guy.
Yes.
Skill position player?
Yes.
Does he have any records?
I don't think so.
What is his aura? Good aura?
I don't know what you mean by aura, but
he's got swag to him.
I don't think he's swagless.
Is his number? Is it an odd or even number that he wore in his jersey?
Odd number. Wait.
Odd number.
Wait. Hold on.
You have to Google this. Great.
I know, because
you have to learn your odds and
evens. No, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Because the picture I have of him is
Oh, is it Robert Woods?
No, he is not wearing a USC jersey in the picture that's directly that I'm looking at. So I just want to double check that he kept the number. But yes, odd number.
Odd number. Wide receiver?
No.
Odd number. Is it Reggie Bush?
No.
Running back?
Yes.
Odd number. Did they win a national championship?
No.
No. Were they on the first Pete Carroll team?
Yes.
Malaiva McKenzie?
No.
Odd number. What was Justin Farkas's number? Was 25. Is it Justin Farkas?
Yes.
Bam! All right.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. That's one for me and two for you. So there you go.
All right. I'm pre-flipping this one over in hopes that if it needs to be flipped, I'm going to laugh.
It needs to be flipped. I'm
You're
sorry.
You're kidding
I'm
me.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. There you go.
Okay. Played in the last 10 years?
No.
Played the century?
No.
Played in the 90s?
No.
Played in the 80s?
No.
Played in the 70s?
Yes.
Offense?
Yes.
Skill position?
Yes.
Running back?
Nope.
Wide receiver?
Nope.
Quarterback?
Yes.
Quarterback from the 70s. Did they win a national title?
Yes.
Did they win two national titles?
I think so, but...
Is it Pat Hayden?
Yes. 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 Two national titles, but wasn't the quarterback for both.
The moment you said 70s and it was a quarterback, I was like, I don't know that I can pick out another... I kept waiting for you to be another... like,
was this guy an AD?
Yes. Well, I was waiting for you to, but Justin Farkas said he'd go to Notre Dame, so...
Well, that's why you picked him.
That's why.
Notre Dame and Michigan.
That's correct.
Great tie-in for today.
A transfer, yes.
All right, here we go.
Upside down.
Upside down again. Oh, boy. Okay. Defense.
No.
Offense.
Yes.
This century.
No.
Older guy, offensive player, skill position guy.
Yes.
My lifetime.
No.
Has he won an award? Major award.
Do you define All Americans as major award?
No. I mean, did he win a trophy?
Did he win a trophy?
Like, win the Heisman or something like that? No. Okay. So, running back?
Yes.
In the 70s?
No.
80s?
No.
60s?
No.
50s?
No.
90s?
No.
30s?
No.
20s?
Yes.
1920s running back?
Well, I mean... in the sense of the word.
Is this Bryce Taylor?
Yes.
Bryce Taylor was an offensive lineman, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a fullback. He was listed as a fullback.
I thought he was like a tackle.
Well, he was a guard, but like he was a fullback, but he was like, I don't know, whatever. You got it right.
Bryce Taylor, the first All-American at,
this is correct.
At USC.
Yes. Yeah. And yes, fighting on MC. Yes, we recognize that the names I wrote in pen and Michael wrote in Sharpie and we should have had me do Sharpie. But
yeah.
I was lazy and didn't want to get up and get the Sharpies. So
you've got three right. I've got two. Two more names, right?
Yes.
Here we go. Bring up your next one. You got this one right. You're like right side up.
All right. Last 10 years.
Yes. Hold it up a little higher.
Defensive player.
No.
Skill position.
Yes.
Wide receiver.
Yes.
Wide receiver for the last 10 years. Odd or even number? Odd number.
No. Even.
Even number. Last 10 years. Where to narrow it down? Did he play for Clay Helton?
Yes.
Juju?
Nope.
No. Juju wore 9. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of that wore 8. Played for Clay Helton.
Yep.
Wore an even number.
Yep.
Wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play, was he on the 2017 Pac-12 championship team?
Yes.
Oh my lord, why can't I remember who the wide receivers were on the team?
You know this guy.
Okay, so but it's not Juju. Was he USC's leading receiver?
I'm fairly certain, yes.
Deontay Burnett.
Yes, Deontay Burnett.
Yeah.
You've gotten every That's single a good one pull. Without giving up.
That's a good pull.
I'm the only one who's given up
so
far.
You're the only one you've... Well, you knew who it was.
I knew who it was. I knew who Chris O'Dowd was. Yeah. I blanked on the name. I could picture his face. Yeah. All right, next one.
Upside down.
Upside down again. All right, I'm going to hold it close. Is it
there you go. Readable? That's perfect. Yes.
Legible?
Yes.
Okay. Offense.
Yes.
Last 10 years? Pete Carroll
no.
guy?
No. Partially.
Partially. Kareem Kelly.
No.
Carson Palmer.
No.
Sultan McCullough.
No. You should narrow this down a little more, bud.
Partially Pete Carroll. Okay. Partially Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
Okay. Offensive Matt Barkley.
No.
Mark Tyler.
No.
Running back?
No.
Receiver?
No.
Lineman?
No.
A tight end?
Yes.
Blake Ailes?
No.
McCoy?
No.
Pete Carroll and Lane Kiffin. And it's... Oh, is it Stanley Avili?
No.
No, hold on. Red Ellison?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I love how you just started, like, throwing names out there instead of, like, trying to figure out...
I mean, maybe I should have just, you know, narrowed it down. White guy. Like,
white, yeah.
I mean, that could have been Ailes.
I feel like we should stay away from just, like, white guy. But, yeah.
Famous father.
Famous father, yes.
Is his father a Kiwi?
Yes.
There you go.
I literally almost picked Carrie Angeline, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Speaking of other white guy tight ends that made me fall in love with them.
Yeah. All right, last one you got.
All right.
Hold it up. You got it. Okay. Go for it.
Last 10 years.
Yes.
Defense.
Nope.
Skill position.
We suck at picking defensive players, by the way.
We do, yeah.
Not a skill guy either.
Offensive lineman?
Yeah.
Tackle? Multiple. Did he start at multiple positions?
Multiple spots, yeah.
Andrew Voorhees?
No.
Okay. Did he play under Clay Helton?
Yes.
Is he Clay Helton's love of life?
No, he's not.
is his last name hyphenated?
Yes, it is.
Elijah Vera Tucker. Yeah.
Yes. You win because you get all five, but yes. I'm still going to do the last one that you gave me. Let's see. Is it right side up?
No.
Oh, boy.
You've also gotten that wrong every time.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. Can you see it?
A little closer, yes.
A little closer.
There you go.
Okay. Offense?
No.
Oh, finally got a defensive player? Or is it a coach?
You got a defensive player.
Okay, this entry.
Yes.
Okay, did he wear wristbands? Pete Carroll era.
Hold on. Yes. Let me verify. He did wear wristbands.
Okay. defensive back.
Yes.
Kevin Ellison.
No.
Safety?
No.
More of a corner?
Yes. At least in my memory.
Did he go to Colton?
No.
No, sorry, Corona Centennial?
No.
So it's not Cherise Wright?
No.
Carrie Harris?
Yes.
Carrie Harris.
Carrie Harris, another Notre Dame. I was on the Notre Dame kick. What I actually did was I went to USC's media guide and looked through the drafted players because it was the first page that I got to that had a list of random players.
Yeah.
And I just started picking out names that I was thinking of.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah.
The chat loves it.
I'm glad the chat loves
Robert, it. Robert, he says this game's great. Bunny on MC, I love this game. And Tim in LA says it's It's way better than Only Connect because I actually have hope in this game. Well, that's good.
There you go.
That's good.
Glad.
Let us know if you enjoyed it. Always send us your emails and your calls, and we can do this again as well. All right, Alicia, it is time for everyone's favorite segment of late. You ready? This is a big one.
I'm ready.
A big 10 minutes.
Let's learn about the University of Michigan, founded in 1817 as, God, I had a week to prepare for this and I still am going to screw this up, Catholepistimiad.
Hold on, I need to try this. Catholepistimiad.
It looks
Catholepistimiad.
Like, it looks like cat hole pissed me iad.
That is exactly what it looks like.
It's not it, but roughly translates to the School of Universal Knowledge in Ann Arbor, Michigan, founded in 1817, University of Michigan. They are the Wolverines. They've been the Wolverines since 1861, back when the Civil War was going on. What is the origin story of the Wolverine, you ask? Alicia, literally nobody knows. It's a mystery, which is wild to me that is a mystery. The Wolverines weren't officially spotted in the state of Michigan until 2004, but the animal.
But they were Wolverines in 1861.
But there were Wolverines in 1861.
So, like,
okay.
This isn't related to, like, the comic book character of Wolverine.
No, there's...
Is this, like, a honey badger situation?
Well, a honey badger is a Wolverine.
Right, but, like, remember that video that went viral where it's just somebody talking about, like, oh, look at the honey badger is, like, the baddest thing. And then, like, and then Tyron... Tyron Matthew
there's
was the honey
theories.
Badger. And
there's
then it
three
was,
theories.
Like, okay.
One of the theories... Legendary coach Fielding Yeo said it was a reference to the abundance of Wolverine pelts traded in Sault Ste. Marie, which they called Michigan Wolverines.
Okay.
That's what Fielding Yeo, their all-time greatest coach, and yeah. 100 years ago said. The Michigan Quarterly Review said it was because the French who founded the area had the appetites of Wolverines. They were so hungry they ate like Wolverines.
Okay, apparently. I like the first one better.
And the third one, and this is the one that makes the most sense to me, but who am I? I'm nobody. It might be a Yankees situation in the sense that it could have come from the Toledo War in 1803, with it being sort of unclear if Michiganders called themselves Wolverines because they were ferocious, or if Ohioans called them Wolverines as an insult because of the gluttonous, aggressive habits of Wolverines, which symbolize them being a pest over the fight for Toledo. Basically, okay. Yankees, right? Like,
yeah.
The British called the Yankees the Yankees, and then the Yankees took it back.
It's reclaiming the
yeah,
the
like
insult.
That one kind of makes sense to
that
me.
That does track. That yeah. does track.
Either way, not the animal. And this is why the Michigan does not have the animal an animal mascot, because it's not the animal.
There you go. Now we
weird, know. But here you go. Let's talk about the fight song, the greatest fight song in the history of sports. Hail to the victors, valiant hail. To the conquering heroes, hail. Hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best. Hail to the victors, valiant hail. To the conquering heroes, hail. Hail to Michigan, the champions of the West. It never gets better.
How hard was it for you
not
to
just
speak
sing it?
Those words and not just sing the
oh,
damn
I wanted
song.
To sing it, baby. It's so good. Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best. It's so good.
It's so good. Like, so I can't good. Even lie. It is perfect. It's a perfect fight song.
Yes, it's even better than Notre Dame's. I'm sorry.
In my opinion,
Notre Dame's number two on that
if
list.
I have to
but
take,
Notre Dame's
if I have to
Michigan's
take USC
number one.
Out because I'm not I'm I can't be a neutral arbiter of whether or not USC's fight song is
oh,
good.
Oh, you take USC out,
is.
But not Michigan. I mean, but no. not Notre Dame.
No. Notre Dame has one. It's for me. It's Notre Dame and Michigan. Mm-hmm. Like those are the cream of
you're,
the crop.
You're not buying what I'm putting down.
No, I'm not, because I'm a Notre Dame High School graduate, and that was our fight song at Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, yes.
Uh-huh, okay. Let's talk about 10 notable alums, even though it's really not 10, because at least we have to talk about Michigan and their notable alums page on Wikipedia. First of all, President Gerald Ford, not only was he a president who went to the University of Michigan, but at least he was an All-American on the Wolverines football team in the 30s. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. Henry Ford, another Ford. How about the creators of the Atkins diet, Groupon, Redbox, Prozac, thank God, C-SPAN, Domino's Pizza, H&R Block, and Borders, rest in peace, yeah. All went to the University of Michigan. Actors James Earl Jones, Lucy Liu, and Dag, David Alan Grier, all went to Michigan. Musicians Madonna and Iggy Pop went to Michigan but did not get that paper. Rich Eisen went to Michigan. We'd be remiss not to mention, of course, some infamous Michigan Wolverines, Dr. Jack Kevorkian, the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, and Larry Nassar all went to Michigan, unfortunately.
I feel like when we do notable alumni, we need to find all serial killers and, like, mass bombers that go to all of these universities
so
just for fun.
Here's where we have to talk about the Wikipedia page. First of all, Michigan, there is something weird about Michigan people. Michigan people are great, but love every Michigander I've ever met has been the nicest person in the world. But there is, like, I have family who is LDS, and people who are LDS are very into journaling and record keeping and genealogy, right? There is something similar to Michiganders, because I don't know what it is, but every single Wikipedia page that is related to the University of Michigan or somebody who has been to the University of Michigan is like a wall of text. Their notable alumni page, first of all, there's multiple of them, are so long and thorough, it's insane. They literally had a long list of serial killers and criminals. Who puts that on their notable alumni page?
Is O.J. Simpson on USC's notable alumni page?
He probably is, but at least, like, there's a difference between that and, like, there was one, like, the serial killer from, like, the 1900s or whatever. Like,
ones that you can't escape?
Like, I just never had heard of or whatever. Like, but there was also, like, newsmakers, like Carol Jantisch, the sole female tuba player on staff with the major U.S. orchestra, believed to be the first in her history at 21, the youngest member of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Why is this in there? I'm sorry, she sounds awesome, but why do we need to know that she got a BFA in 2006? Or Benjamin Bulger, said to hold the highest number of graduate degrees held by a living person. Okay? How about there's a father of section? Like, you know, the father of whatever thing, right? Leon Jacob Cole. Geneticist? Thank you. And ornithologist.
Geneticist and ornithologist.
He's the father of American bird banding?
What is bird banding?
I have no idea, but okay, thank you.
Wait, is that like the tracker things that they put on the birds?
Maybe. Or there's Larry Teal, considered by many to be the father of American orchestral saxophone. Okay. And then there's a section called Foodies, which is Gail Green, food critic, said to have coined the word foodie, which, again, just further emphasizes Michigan people making shit up so they can put it on the Wikipedia page. It's wild. But let's talk about Michigan. We only got 2 minutes left here. Alicia, what's your perception of Michigan fans?
I haven't had a lot of run-ins with Michigan fans, to be honest. I had my worst run-ins with them were during the scandal this past fall, where sure. I was firmly
they were going down with the ship.
anti-sign stealing, and there was a lot of excuse making on that side of the thing. But in general, they're a big time one.
All right, minute left. A minute and 25 left. Here we go. Mike DeSimone. DeSimone? What, DeSimone?
I have no idea.
Had a website that I would go to religiously as a kid. Big Michigan fan. He would rank every single college football team. And I just found it last week for the first time in like 20-something years. It looks exactly as it did in like 2002. And it is glorious. Go look him up. Michigan football, we got a minute left. 12 national championships, including last year, 2023. The all-time series between USC and Michigan, led by the Trojans 6-4. Big SC Michigan memories, of course, the 2004 Rose Bowl, the liner catch. John Navarre, of course, still getting sacked by Will Poole somewhere. 2007 Rose Bowl, that's Sark going all in on the pass in the second half. that great drive, four-play drive with all 20-yard touchdown, I mean 20-yard first downs capped off with Fred Davis. Brilliant. The next USC-Michigan game, of course, September 21st, USC at Michigan against Sharon Moore, the brand-new head coach at Michigan, takes over for Jim Harbaugh. The Wolverines lost 13 players to the NFL draft. They only returned six starters, but that includes a guy who tore his ACL in the spring and the punter, and they have Donovan Edwards, the cover boy of CFB college football.
Look at you stick barely, the landing.
Barely sticking the landing. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the mailbag, shall we?
You've got mail.
Let's go to Greg. What do you guys think of EA not having high school in Road to Glory? You hear about this?
Yes, I heard about this. It's been generally rave reviews for the game across the board from everything I've seen, mm-hmm. with the lone complaint coming from the Road to Glory thing and not starting out in high school. To be honest, I don't really care. It's not a big deal to me. Would I prefer Road to Glory to begin in high school? Yes. Is that make or break to me? No.
Dynasty is more important.
Dynasty is more important. And Road to Glory can be fun if I just start out as a high school freshman. Like,
sure.
Do some role playing. Like,
freshman, I guess.
As you're waiting for the game to load up, imagine what your high school freshman was like and what the recruiting process was like and weave that into your head before thing, college freshman, before you start the game. Like, I think honestly, it will be fine. I have much, much bigger concerns that have been generally answered, that I care more about those being in the game than the high school element being out of the game. So, yeah, that's okay. You know why I think that they didn't want to do the high school thing, by the way? Because there's a problem with NIL enticement and high school. You're technically not supposed to entice a high school recruit to come to your school via NIL, but like there's this weird gray area where you sort of can, but you can't, but you can, but you can't. And mm-hmm. I think they just didn't want to deal with NIL and high school recruiting, to be quite honest.
Well, the interesting thing is the game, you in dynasty mode, you cannot. One of the things that we learned, big shout out to our friend Nick Shook, by the way, from the NFL, NFL Network, NFL.com.
Highly recommend his Gridiron podcast, by the way.
Yeah, he's the best. Big friend of the pod. He went to Orlando to do the EA stuff, and he was talking to us about all this stuff is now out there. So, not speaking out of turn here, but he was talking about one of the things that you can't do now is import draft classes into Madden from the game. And that sucks because we were hoping that, you know, as someone who is in a Madden cloud franchise, and I'm obviously going to be in a Dynasty cloud franchise, you'd love to be able to port over those guys into Madden when you're done playing with them in college, right? But they're not doing it for NIL reasons, and they're not also because the licensing is different. The licensing to be in the game in college is different than it would be to be in the game in Madden. It's not just like a user creating Caleb Williams in the game,
which you're explicitly not allowed in to Madden. Do.
And now you can't do that with, like, you can't create Arch Manning because he's explicitly not allowed to be in the game. So you cannot create someone named Arch Manning. You'd have to create like Bart Tanning or something like that. Like that, maybe. I mean, maybe that's the workaround. I don't know. But yeah, the game looks awesome. Everybody has given rave reviews. I can't wait to see what the team builder is like, because you know I'm making Jigglebag Steak. It's going
to
be a thing.
I am looking forward to
JSU,
it,
baby. Roll bags. Yeah, we're going to the top. But yeah, super looking forward to that. West Texas Mike says, you want to get into Fielding Yost keeping Notre Dame out of the Big Ten because he hated Catholics? I've always found the stuff about Fielding Yost that West Texas Mike put in the chat is foul. Like all the stuff that people have said about his very problematic and racist and bigoted opinions about various walks of life and kinds of people. But one of the things that I've always sort of found interesting, and maybe you as a Notre Dame person can speak to this, it's been 100 years. Is the, like, the anti-Catholic thing, like, is that really like that big? Am I crazy to say that, like, ask this question? I don't know. Like, because part of the reason that Notre Dame refuses to go to the Big Ten is because they don't want to validate Michigan because they rejected being in the same conference as them because of anti-Catholic views 110 years ago or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, but people hold on to grudges for a long time.
It's an insane grudge, though, at this point,
isn't
it?
Grudges for a long time. I mean, yeah, it's an insane grudge, but also, like, grudges just have a way to grow.
Go to confession.
Especially
get rid of
rival,
the grudge.
Like, rivalry grudges just get locked in there at a certain point. So,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, honestly, life would be much easier as a USC fan if Notre Dame was in the Big Ten. So, like, trust me, I'm not sitting here saying that Notre Dame shouldn't go into the Big Ten, but, like, you know, there's rivalry stuff involved. It's all bitter.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if my dad could go to a Catholic retreat and speak to a priest and go to confession and rid himself of his hate and distaste of the St. Louis Rams and Georgia Frontieri, then Notre Dame can get over a guy being anti-Catholic from, like, a century ago.
This is fair. Yeah, this is fair.
Like, we're new people now. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of line. I don't know. Let's go to a YouTube comment that we got last week from Greg. You guys should do a dream team for the coaching staff. Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all aboard dream team for the coaching staff. That is on our docket.
I would pipe in with ideas, but I think that
we gotta keep it.
That's got to be an episode at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the off season when we're always scrapping for ideas anyways. YouTube comment we got last week from Lawrence: Caleb was inconsistent and would simply not get the ball out. He was an amazing talent, but he simply isn't that great at going through progressions and hitting the receivers in tight windows. Miller Moss will be more consistent. What say you?
I think this is a fair commentary in the sense that Caleb, actually, I was just listening to another podcast, the False Start podcast, from my colleagues over at fansided.com. Cody Williams did a solo pod this week where he talked about his expectations for USC, because he was discussing, like, the early top 25 that ESPN just put out. And his argument was that they were underrating USC, in part because Lincoln Riley's offense is, as something we've said for a while now, is that Lincoln Riley's offense just goes regardless of who's running it, but that Caleb Williams was more of an improvisational quarterback who would just sort of do spectacular things but not necessarily work within the system, and that Miller Moss might not be as spectacular as Caleb Williams, but he will do things from within the system. He will allow himself to be a system quarterback, which will allow the system to be more consistently effective and less dependent on the playmaking genius of a savant. So I would agree with the idea. Now, this is all dependent on Miller Moss being able to be that guy, but, like, I think that's the biggest argument for why I don't expect the USC offense to take a huge step back from a sort of overall standpoint.
I pick up what you're putting down, but I do have to say that, like, with all due respect from the comment from Lawrence, like, this screams of, like, the sentiment that is overly critical of Caleb.
Oh yeah,
the subtext I'm reading from this comment, I don't agree with. Like, Miller Moss and nobody on USC's roster can replace Caleb Williams, the player himself. But like I mentioned before, in terms of production and strictly production, yeah, I think you can replace Caleb Williams' production because of all the reasons that you just pointed out. I think that if you stay within the system, and if Miller Moss is truly a system quarterback in that sense, absolutely you can replace him, right? Like, Nick Saban won a national championship with, what was the Jake?
McCarron?
Jake.
AJ McCarron.
No, the dude that nobody ever remembers. 2014. Oh, Jake. Gosh. Exactly.
Greg McElroy.
No, but after that, way after that.
Yeah.
See, you don't even remember who I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of, like, there's the Ewing effect to a different extent of, like, more so the T. Martin example, right? T. Martin replaces Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And
he's not a better quarterback than Peyton Manning.
No.
But in a better situation than Peyton Manning.
In a weird sense. Yeah. Right. And he's able to put everything together that way.
Jake Coker, Greg chimed in the chat. Thank you, Greg.
Jake Coker. Yeah.
Much.
But yeah, like I can see a world in which, you know, Miller Moss ends up being more productive and all those kinds of things, but not necessarily doesn't make him necessarily better than Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams is very difficult.
Miller can't make half of the throws that Caleb Williams could make. And that's not doesn't mean he can't be an effective college quarterback, but
As it stands right now, he can't make those, but he can absolutely prove us wrong. Yeah. The Holiday Bowl, prime example. Like, he threw for 6 touchdowns. I think, did Caleb Williams do that once, I think?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he's able to put there, in the
to use a phrase that I don't like actually using, but there's more than two ways to skin a cat. I think that's the way that I look at Caleb Williams and Miller Moss.
All diets work. It's about sticking to them.
Yes.
Yeah. Trust me, I know. All right. Email we got from Jared. Hey, Michael and Alicia. Today I learned there's lasagnette and lasagnotte. I'm not Italian. I can't do this.
I think it's gnotte.
And I'm not like my dad who can cosplay as an Italian. I'm not going to do it. Lasagna is the big piece of pasta. Lasagnotte is a longer, narrower version, and this is according to Wikipedia and a new Reddit post that hit the internet.
Yeah, so lasagna is actually just the pasta, the way that the pasta is cut and produced. So, like, a lasagna, when we think of the dish lasagna, is just utilizing... it's like what the way we say, like, macaroni. Like, we're referring to the... not the dish that we're making with the sauce, we're referring to the noodles. So lasagna is referring to the noodle that is used in the dish to make a lasagna. A lasagnette is a different shape, and a lasagnotte is a longer shape compared to, like, the standard, like, rectangle. And that's what I was understanding.
And the reason we bring this up, of course, is because of the great lasagna debate of 2022, in which we argued several times about whether or not two lasagnas stacked on top of each other is two lasagnas or one double tall lasagna. And the answer, of course, is one
tall lasagna. I stand by my assessment that once you bake a lasagna, you have created a clear top layer of cheese. If you put that lasagna on top of another lasagna, you have two stacked lasagnas.
Okay. Hypothetical. You have a burrito. You make a little burrito.
Okay.
You then...
If you have a burrito and you take another burrito and stack it on top of it...
No.
You don't have one large burrito. Correct. You have two burritos.
This is correct. Yeah, if they're 2x2, like, two sticks of dynamite together...
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is essentially what a lasagna would be.
That would be two burritos. However, if it is a burrito and then you put a dollop of beans on it and then you wrap that in another tortilla... Alicia, that's one burrito.
But that's not what you're talking about.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's not about stacking it.
But lasagna is already a stacked food.
Yes, but you're talking about wrapping a thing that you've wrapped. That's not an apt comparison.
This would be
more like taking a slice of cake, of one cake, and then you put another slice of cake on top of
hold
it.
Hold on, okay.
And
hold
now you've
on,
got two pieces,
Alicia,
slices of cake that are stacked.
You are a baker, correct?
Yes.
I'd like you to inform me, how do they make a tiered cake?
You take cakes and then you... Mm-hmm. Well, no, because a tiered cake is the cakes that are stacked and then frosted over the top. You're creating the singular cake by putting it all together.
By putting it together. So you're saying it's multiple pieces
if
of cake
I
put
make
together
a tiered cake...
Into one cake?
And cut that cake, it has an outside frosting that indicates its ending point.
But
if you
why
then
is
take
it the outside frosting?
Cake
it's the outside
it
frosting
on
only because you don't have another layer on the other side of it.
Otherwise, no,
it could
frosting
be the inside
its own
if
thing
you put other more cake on top of it.
No, because you might not have frosting on the inside. You could have a filling, like a ganache or
it's
something like
the
that.
The same thing.
No, it's not. Tim in LA loves the return of jiggle bag and lasagnas.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Greg says, what do you think about Colin Coward saying that USC shouldn't play against Notre Dame anymore?
USC should absolutely continue playing against Notre Dame. Notre Dame should come into the Big Ten. But also, all of these discussions to me are kind of going to be irrelevant because we're going to get realignment again when they redo all of this structural stuff of the NCAA. And USC will end up being in some sort of different conference situation than they currently are, whatever the names or the structures might be. So as far as I'm concerned, USC should continue to play Notre Dame. But I don't know. I wouldn't voluntarily give up that.
No,
that series.
So my football brain says you can get rid of it because you don't necessarily need, you can have the flexibility to play different teams and all that stuff. But my heart and everything else says absolutely you can't do it. The other part about it's a rivalry game, you should never give that up. And then the other thing too, part of the novelty of playing different teams, especially during the Pete Carroll era, with big road games against Virginia and Nebraska and Arkansas, and you know they played Virginia Tech in DC and all those games, right? Like, part of the novelty of those trips are also seen by joining the Big Ten, because now there's a bunch of new road games that you never had before. Like SC this year going to Maryland, going to Michigan, like going to Minnesota. And yeah, SC went to Minnesota in 2010, but now it's going to be a conference game, right? Yeah. Like, this is a different scenario, right? And so I think that you can scratch that itch of playing new teams, getting new road games in the Big Ten without having to get rid of Notre Dame to schedule those teams. Not to mention that...
And the playoff is going to have hosted games early, so
yes,
like you're going to get that too.
Right, 100%. But to get to your point, yeah, Notre Dame should be in the Big Ten.
Yes,
Notre Dame should be
issue
in the Big Ten. That's come on.
It's silly that they're not.
Jesus
in the Big
himself
Ten
would is all about forgiveness, people. Forgive Michigan. Forgive them.
You know, what needs to happen? Fox needs to buy the rights to Notre Dame, like to buy it off of NBC, which is never going to happen. But they need to do that and then force Notre Dame to join the Big Ten.
Sure. I mean, it would make things a lot easier. Trojan Flight says, any idea when the contract is up with Notre Dame, when it is up for renewal? So I've looked this up. I've seen that the contract was through 2023, but we know that there's still games going on in 2024. According to
FBS schedules.
FBS schedules, which I sort of view as like the be all
the
and end all on these kind of things, they have the SC Notre Dame contract through 2026.
With dates, which makes me think that that's...
And even if there wasn't a date, there'd be a TBA.
Yes, but they tend to be on point with knowing what is and isn't like actually official. So I would sort of trust that the contract is through 2026.
And take into account on their Notre Dame page, they've got Navy in there through 2032. Which makes me, again, think that, like, their sense of Notre Dame's contracts is accurate.
Yeah.
They have the ACC rotation, but the ACC put out their rotation all the way until 2037 because they're weird.
Yeah.
2037 sounds so insane. Until you remember that that's 13 years ago, mm-hmm. and 13 years ago was 2011.
Remember when we talked about how insane and what it was that USC offered a scholarship to a seventh grader, David Sills, and now David Sills... has graduated high school and college and is in the NFL.
David Sills just filed for Social Security. Yeah, it's been a while.
David Sills is 28 years old.
Are you serious?
He's 28 years old. He's a wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, and he is 28 years old.
How about like, have you thought about this?
Hi.
How long ago that was?
That was 2013.
Yeah. I was 10 years younger than I am now.
11
years
younger.
Hi.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode. Thanks for joining us here. Also, big shout out to Tim in LA for a super chat. The return of Jiggle Bag and Lasagna. Yeah. We got to bring those things back all the time. All the time. All right, y'all. We will be back next week to talk more USC football. I don't know. Maybe we'll do the Dream Team coaches, or we'll do something. I don't know. We'll figure out something. There's always something to talk about. There's this TikTok account that I follow called Leroy and Leroy or something. And there's two Canadian guys.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
And are they from Alberta or Saskatchewan? And the one guy goes, there's always something to do. I'm Leroy and that's Leroy, and there's always something to do. There's always something to talk about.
Yep. Yeah. I'm Alicia and Michael. There's always something to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, we will see ya.
See ya.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.